Welcome back to Brass Stacks. This is Sankey Price along with Misha Brathwaite. Good afternoon to you. And we've been discussing, we've had a pretty good session this morning so far, where we've been looking at possibility of lifting some of the restrictions on the curfew and allowing some businesses to go to get back into operation. I took a sun break just now, just a little 3-minute sun break, and again, it's unbelievable the amount of traffic here on River Road. But also the thing that, and it's annoying me quite frankly, because the last caller we had on, she said that it seems that a lot of people are not taking this thing as serious as they should. The amount of people who are walking on River Road right now and not wearing masks. I saw a girl and a guy, they were basically up in each other's face. And, you know, I just keep wondering why people are continuing to do this. Mask can save you a lot of problems in that if I wear a mask and you wear a mask, then the possibility of transmission through droplets from me to you is decreased. They're not foolproof in any way, but at least they can help contain the spread of this disease if everyone wears a mask. So people, please, as long as you're in public, wear the mask. We are trying to get some more information from the Ministry of Education, so hopefully we'll get some of that before 12:30, so please stand by for that. And that 16-year-old, we're still awaiting you to call back so you can give your number, and Mr. David Ellis would like to have a word with you, so please call us. And just give your number to the producer, Michelle. We go right back to the phone lines. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Hello. Good afternoon. Hello. You're on the air.
Hi. Good afternoon, Mr. Sanger.
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. Mm-hmm. I'm a bit concerned about everybody talk about the small businesses and who should open and who should. I mean, sometimes it upset me when I hear people like mention Chaffet, Kentucky, those places. But no man never mentioned the small businessman that's selling about his house. How he can feed his family, how he can be employed up to about 5 to 6 workers working on weekends and paying their workers to feed their family too. But no man ever mentioned the small business. First, everybody mentioned Chaffet, this body, the ones in town. But how about the one that is here at the moment, except on the weekend? Huh?
Sir, I am so very glad that you called, because I was hoping to get someone from small businesses, this is really wrong. Well, sir, but I want us to have a discussion on this, because from where I sit, that this is an area which needs to be addressed. First of all, self-employed small business people, they have a double whammy here, because they work for themselves. With the curfew, I mean, they won't benefit from unemployment benefits like some other established places. Okay, but also there's the toll on their families and all the whole set of bills and whatnot. So I want you to tell us how you have been coping So first of all, what sort of small business are you into?
Well, selling food.
I'm selling food.
Yeah. On the weekends, and that's my only income.
That's your only income.
A lot of people scam, but I mean, that's my only income to pay bills. I have a staff of up to about 6 people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Well, that means you're doing pretty well then on weekends if you have a staff of 6 people.
Yeah, well, I got to employ somebody. I got to give somebody some of the care. You understand what I'm saying?
Fair enough.
People are suffering. Mm-hmm. You understand? So I can't keep all by myself.
Yes, huh? But many hands make light work. That's what we've been hearing.
Yeah, which is correct.
Yes.
No, but yes. At this moment,
So tell us, okay, we've heard the complaint. It's rough. But tell us about how it is rough. In what ways it is rough? What are you going through? Give us an idea of what you're going through.
Mr. Zank, I consider it a torture. I mean, not having the business open. I mean, sometimes you go, well, although you pay your staff national insurance money, you don't know when that money will come. And your staff out there, well, they have children. They're silly like an oak for the whole coping. You still go and offer some cash to go into the market and such like that. It's friends that say keep their mind occupied and not in pain and crying and suffering and so helping pay the bills and all that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, but at this moment, I don't know what to say.
What about you? All right. You said that already about three times. About yeah. In terms of yourself now, how you have a family that you have to take care of as well? So how are you managing to take care of your family? Like you're not home in the house all the time with them, correct?
But Ms. Zanga, all I could do is go into the market on Monday, try to buy one or two little bits and things to help to survive, let the family know what, you know, things not working, the bills coming, and you're just trying to manage what you have and what we have here that we could deal with at the moment. But I'm just waiting.
All right.
The whole home handle it right now at this moment.
Have you been one of those persons who would have gone to, would have contacted the commercial banks or your finance company or credit union to have a loan rearranged or anything like that? Did you go through that experience?
Yes, sir. I had seen a letter just a couple of weeks ago. Said the whole, well, give me a chance. So, well, for the prime minister of market things, right? So I believe that response is, and I haven't heard back from the story, but I believe that you see the situation, so the response sometimes when everything's done. But hopefully that things will open back. But I will say that I can comment from the in terms of open backing. It's hard, but it's still, you got to be careful what will happen and what will take place. I don't mind the Prime Minister open backing. I don't have a problem with that. But yet still, when you're at the other side, you got to be careful. Or you might rush to open backing. Yet still, something bad happens, and we got to close again. What might suggest about it, Mr. Sanger? I could say, well, if she open back in for 8 o'clock and close all stores between 7, I mean all businesses between 7, even myself, a small business, because I know I can, as I told you, I come out on evening and sell my little food, I close at 7, it's okay with me. I don't have a problem with that. But to open it widely, I disagree. So if limit the curfew goes about, start back at 8 o'clock, you understand? And people get the food and do what they do and head off and head home. After 8 o'clock, then you put up on the road, then the law do what you have to do.
Mm-hmm. So do you think you'd be able to impose like physical distancing between your customers and whatnot?
Yes, sir. Cause even before I close, I apply when the message comes, I apply that. So I have my distance away from people that was myself 6 feet. And such like that, and even tell some people don't get out the car, someone will come to you. I don't want the closeness, right? It's a real serious thing, you know. So that I practice that in the first beginning when it come out. So that's me. I try and just keep this, but I think we need to. Some person got to talk about we also, to Miss Anchor. Got to talk about we. We got families, and we all workers got family. If you look around from St. Philip back down to St. Lucie, you will see a lot of little small businesses got a some boy got selling food on weekends on from Thursday or even from I would say from Thursday down to Saturday at the door, and the food got to be good because people just come up and buy the food. Yeah, you know, so it have to be good if you look and see. But nobody ever talk about we.
Well, that's why we're doing it now, because I think it's one of the areas that is vital, quite frankly. The amount of small businesses in Barbados, you know, when we talk about all these claims that go into the national insurance, it really does not take into account those who are self-employed like yourself. And that's why I was really hoping that someone like you would call and we can have that sort of conversation, because I know it cannot be easy. Some people for you, I know that some people will just be making enough, you know, to get by because it's really their right. job. They've made a small investment, and they're basically turning over. They're just trying to keep things going to pay their bills, and you know right. they're working from literally from paycheck to paycheck, and they're working really, really hard. So people like yourself would be keen on getting some of the restrictions lifted so that you can get back out there and work. But I'm very, very happy that you have indicated to me that you recognize you recognize the necessity to observe the protocols in place, because that's very, very important. One of the other things that I would want you to tell me just very, very briefly about is about your workers. I mean, you said that things are rough with them, but how are they going? I mean, how are they surviving as far as you know?
As I told you that, you know, I spoke to them and they asked me how they're going and things, but I was, at least, you know, they pay for a long time, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I mean, they have that salary, that pay and things, but I would still extend my hand to my workers because I have children, thank God.
Yeah.
They have the bills got to pay.
Yeah.
The water bill, the light bill. Yeah. I don't want to intervene. I don't know what internet they have, but they have children. So you still want to be there for them. Not only be there for them when they come to work for you, but in crisis, you still want to be there for them. You understand?
Yeah.
So I get semi hand to my workers, and if as many more get semi hand, I will get semi hand.
Yeah.
You understand? But it's hard. Someone got to talk about, we as a born, Ms. Anka.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people come and buy for all walks of life, all at St. Philip, or little small business, little small shops. You understand what I'm saying? So
yeah.
He's important.
No, it's
Kentucky's important. He's important too.
Yes, I certainly agree.
He's important.
I agree. I certainly agree with you. All right, well, sir, thank you. I'm very happy that you managed to air your concerns. And as I said, the small business sector is really, really significant. And I really want to hear from someone from the small business sector. Now we have on the line Minister of Education, Santia Bradshaw. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Sankar.
Thank you so very much for calling. And one of the things that we were hearing earlier was the unavailability. Well, we heard from a mother that some of the schools are supposed to be getting devices, laptops and tablets. So could you tell us about that? Because I understand there's also this project to really try to increase the number of devices that will become available.
Okay. Well, first of all, like, I think everyone would have realized we ended the school term prematurely at the end of last semester. And we did so, obviously, within a COVID environment for the safety of our teachers, our students, and all of the administrators. As a consequence, the very last week of that term, we spent training a number of our teachers in how to use the technology, how to be able to operate in a virtual environment. And we continue that, you know, through the vacation with some of them being able to work with the ITC coordinators. Now, obviously, we are mindful that students who are obviously going to have to interface with the teachers, many of them may not have had devices at home, or in some cases, they may not have had connectivity in terms of Wi-Fi connectivity. So what we've done is we've looked at a drive, and we're calling it the G Suite Tech Drive for Education project, which basically is allowing us to target households where there are shortages of devices. And working with the private sector, we've been able to start the ball rolling in terms of we've had a number of persons who've come on board, about a number of companies who are interested in making sure that no child is left behind. And I can say that the private sector has really embraced this project in a major way. So we're trying to get those devices in, make sure that they are obviously compatible with the requirements of the G Suite for Education platform. and also to be able to collect data at this point in terms of those students who require devices at home. Now, what we've cautioned, obviously, is that we don't want just persons who already have devices to be signing up for the program. So we're really asking persons to be mindful that there are some students who really genuinely don't have devices, and we're asking those parents to basically reach out to the ministry or through the principals to be, or through their teachers to be able to allow us to be able to know what those numbers are looking at. Our initial estimates were around, I think it was 4,500 in terms of students who were without devices. Obviously, as over the last few weeks, we've had an increase in that number. So our target is more, I'm being optimistic, but I think our target is more around 10,000. And we're basically appealing to those in the private sector and individuals who would want to assist to be able to do so. We set up a hotline for parents to be able to reach out if there are any concerns in terms of how students were coping, or if there were any concerns in terms of access to devices and obviously challenges at home. We provided a number, 5350798.
Okay, just to repeat that, 535?
Sure, 5350798.
Okay.
Or they can email at info@mes.gov.bb. And the intention, really, I think we learned this from the tragedy that we had at Frederick Smith, that oftentimes when persons are away from school, there are some concerns. Sometimes students require counseling. It's very difficult in this environment with parents being laid off, you know, for students to cope. There's some questions that parents may have as well as students, and we wanted to provide that support to the general population to be able to allow our students and parents to be able to reach out if there were such concerns. But in relation to persons who might be interested now to be part of the program for accessing devices, you can contact Hague Communications. I think most people are familiar with Joanne Hague at 836-4629, and just alert her as to any requirements that students may have in relation to devices at this point in time. I think it's fair to say that obviously this data is not data that is necessarily held by schools in the ordinary course of things, and therefore we've been really reliant on our teachers as well as our principals and parents coming forward to be able to provide that information. One of our biggest challenges that our schools have had has been that sometimes parents move from one location to the next, and it's often difficult to be able to track them because they've not provided the information to the school. So we're really asking them to reach out on the numbers that I've highlighted so that they can perhaps stay in contact with the principal and be able to speak to them about challenges that they may be having getting accessibility. On a positive note as well, Sanka, I think I need to mention as well that Digicel, one of our major telecommunications providers, have come on board to be able to help us to zero rate the education platforms to students. So basically, there will be no cost to them, obviously, once they have the relevant platform. And that is another way that they're obviously helping us to be able to get the connectivity to students. Obviously, discussions are ongoing with the providers because I think ideally we want to ensure that we have connectivity across the island, and where they're working with us to be able to ensure that that obviously happens.
Well, one of the things, thank you, because I know you only have a few more minutes and we only have 7.5 minutes to go. One of the things that I think most parents are concerned about, well, there are two things really. One, the 11 plus, how that is progressing and if that will definitely come off as scheduled. And the online teaching, because some children are home and, you know, you want to make sure that they're getting some level of instruction, those who have devices. So I don't know if you can deal with both of them very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Well, in relation to the online teaching, as I said, we're providing the devices. We've also recognized that we don't want to have too much in terms of screen time for students online with teachers. So we've basically limited the screen time interaction. Principals and teachers are working through the hours of the day where they will interface, and perhaps in some cases they may have to do one-on-one sessions with students as the need arises, because I think we all appreciate that there's some kids who need a bit more one-on-one attention. And where those teachers are willing to facilitate it, I'm sure that they will accommodate. In relation to the 11 plus examination, we have already said that we would push the 11 plus down to the end of June. We're still in discussions in terms of, you know, how we can administer the 11 plus. And we're waiting, obviously, words from our public health officials in terms of being able to allow students to be able to gather in a central place. And we take the guidance from them, as you can appreciate. Fortunate for Barbados, we control that exam, and therefore, you know, once we are able to control it, we're therefore able to reset the timetable in terms of when the examination will happen. But I can assure the public that we will give adequate notice, you know, so students can prepare, teachers can prepare, and also the anxious patients, as parents as well, can prepare in this environment for the 11-plus examination as well. So just they just need to stay tuned to more information. And, of course, we've been trying to ensure that students who are in preparation for examinations are given high priority in terms of the actual devices as well. And some of our donors have said they would like the devices to go specifically to those students. So I can give that assurance that, you know, we are definitely trying to cover all bases in this particular environment at this point in time.
What are some of the challenges that the ministry has been encountering in trying to get the e-learning program off the ground?
I think the biggest challenge has been just a change in behavior and an acceptance that this environment that we're in right now is different from what people did before. I think oftentimes people are resistant to change. You know, we saw it with the supermarkets. You try to put in a structured system. You know, there were some challenges there. People don't want to necessarily go on a specific day. They want the freedom to be able to go on any day. Similarly, you have, you know, obviously teachers who may want, who have embraced technology in some cases, and the vast majority have. But there are some who may not have embraced it in the same way. And so there is a learning curve for them familiarizing themselves with the technology, because obviously it does require them to learn to teach differently and to engage differently. Many of them are not accustomed, obviously, having a camera pointing at them while they're obviously delivering instruction. Another challenge we've seen is that some parents who are very excited about this new development in terms of, you know, this classroom coming into the household, they have started logging into the classroom and in many cases have been a bit disruptive with the teachers. And we really discourage parents from logging in and particularly being disruptive in the classroom, because in the ordinary circumstances, they would not be in the classroom. We don't have a problem with you supporting, but obviously we want to respect our teachers, especially as they overcome this initial stage where they're trying to familiarize themselves with the program. And once we can get through these teething issues, perhaps it might be much better to have a one-on-one conversation with the teacher about the way in which the child has been learning or responding in a particular classroom environment. But those are some of the major challenges. And, of course, the issues of devices, connectivity, which I said we're trying to resolve. It's not a perfect environment in which to deliver this type of instruction. And truthfully, it's not we refer to it as online teaching. But in the true sense of the word, it really isn't the true online teaching as we would know it. This is more an emergency response teaching program that we're trying to deliver in the shortest time frame possible. And just to ensure that kids don't, you know, aren't at home and don't have anything to do. One of the other things we've done to support the teachers as well is we've worked out with the Caribbean Broadcasting Corporation, being able to use CBC during the daytime to be able to have a number of programs for students to be able to watch and to certainly provide feedback to their teachers. And there's a collaboration with the National Cultural Foundation who is working with us to be able to put out some of that content for a number of courses that students will be engaged in. So overall, it's a huge effort, Sanka. I think people need to appreciate that, you know, this has been thrust on us and we're obviously trying to respond as best as we can. There will be a few days and perhaps a few weeks where we will have to fine-tune a couple of things, but I think I'm encouraged by the fact that we've had the private sector support. I really want to thank Corporate Barbados for getting on board with helping us with this project. And I think parents just need to reach out and let us know what the challenges are. Equally, our teachers need to just, you know, continue to engage through the principals and through the ministry to let us know where they're having difficulties, because we recognize that they're dealing with their children at home as well. And in many cases, you know, they have to be ensuring that their kids are you know, logging in to talk with a teacher while at the same time they're being asked to deliver instruction. And we've said to the unions as well, we understand that scenario. But at the same time, we need to know. If we don't know where the challenges are, we obviously are not going to be able to respond to the challenges. So it's a different environment. people just need to appreciate that they have to share the information in order for it, for the Minister of Education to respond.
Well, thank you, Minister, for taking the time. And when do you expect to get these devices? And when is the end date?
My understanding is that some of them have already been ordered, even as far as UNICEF. UNICEF has offered to donate some, and some of the other private sector companies. Mm-hmm. But the majority of them, are likely to come later this week and into next week. So we anticipate being able to start the new school term from next week, but with an understanding across the board that obviously the devices will have to be distributed to students, and the information continues to come in. As well as the fact that obviously the contract between parents and certainly the Ministry of Education will have to be executed, because while we're giving the devices, it is with the understanding that it's for educational purposes. There's not supposed to be no breaches of the Computer Misuse Act. It's not supposed to be used for cyberbullying. It's not to be used to defame the character of anyone. And therefore, there are very specific guidelines under which students will be granted permission to use the devices. And obviously, parents will be responsible for any loss, any damage, or any inappropriate use of the devices while in the custody of their.
Brass, that's the Sanka Price with you, along with Misha Brathwaite. And I'd like to assure all those who are writing on the WhatsApp that we are now tuned in. Everything's working perfectly now on the WhatsApp. And I will get to you shortly, but I do have a full board of calls, so let's take some calls first, then we'll intersperse with the WhatsApp messages. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hello. Hi. Good afternoon, Sanka. How are you?
How are you, Wesley? Long time no hear.
Man, no, I ain't called you for the year. I just give myself a little.
At least I see you, though.
Of course.
What's on your mind, my brother?
On my mind is, I want to know if some of these ministers in quarantine or if they're in isolation. I want to know. Answer the question, man.
Well,
some of the government ministers are in quarantine or are they in isolation?
I don't know.
Are they doing physical and social distances at the same time? Because nobody is seeing them, nobody hearing them. I want to know. Sanka, mm-hmm. I want to say to you that I noticed from Monday, last Monday, these programs becoming very dead. So I come in to put some spark in the program.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I want to conversate with you. Mm-hmm. Are the ministers of government in quarantine or are they in isolation?
But I answer you, I tell you, I don't know.
Oh, if, you don't know?
Yeah, I said so twice.
No, you in the reporting business.
But I just spoke today alone to Mr. Prescott and Ms. Bradshaw.
I said some. It was good to hear Prescott. It was good to hear him.
Uh-huh.
I cannot say the same. I cannot. Obviously, I cannot say that acting Prime Minister Santia Bradshaw is in isolation or in quarantine. I cannot say that.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot say Cynthia Ford, Minister Ford. I cannot say that either. Mm-hmm. Right? But a lot of these ministers, right, I hear them since COVID-19 was honest, was announced, and I hear them saying.
Who would you like to hear from particularly?
I just scarcely hear them, but now I hear them, period.
So who would you like to hear from particularly?
Man, I would like to hear the ministers to find out if they're still keeping active, if they're still working.
Yeah, but you obviously have one or two people
in
mind.
You're not David Ellis. You're not trapping me. I telling you, you ain't putting me in the trouble with the ministers. I telling you, you know them just as good as me. I don't hear them. If you hear them on your private lines and thing, I don't hear them. I think the public of Barbados need to hear them. The Prime Minister of Barbados, Ms. May Motley, right? Everybody know her recent challenges. You know, she never hide it. And she get up off her sick bed and she speak to the nation of Barbados, not once, not twice, at least about three times, okay? And we know that at least the whole of Barbados is asking the Prime Minister to take a break, take a rest, take a vacation. And it seems like the lady can't rest, because even though that she was under the government, the doctor's care, she still find the need and urge to come and speak to her people. I want to know what's wrong with saying these ministers have mm-hmm. gone on mute. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, that way call you, but I called to put this.
It's a good thing. you may talk for a good few minutes too.
But look, I also am self-employed, okay?
Uh-huh.
And quite honestly speaking, Mr. Price, right? The little cash thing that you did, saving, you know, for the rainy day, that seemed to be dried up. With a lot of people that is in my same line of work, okay? Mm-hmm. And we need to get back out there and do some work. Now, for instance, this is what got us, right? The people in the automotive business struggling and hand strapped. The auto clinic, the auto parts dealers, they're not open, right? The auto parts dealers. The people that provide the materials like the automotive R and the Paints Plus and those kind of people, you know, they're not open either to sell you a pint of paint. And, you know, a white is a white, but it's not a white is a white. It is every color, every car got a color code. So you just can't go and buy any kind of white to put on a white car. It carry a code. Mm-hmm. And that goes with any color. So you need to have these dealers, these auto parts and auto stores at least do a soft opening. You might not need to open them for the whole entire day, right? But I don't think there's nothing wrong with opening Automotive R and Paints Plus, right? For 4.5 hours a day. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because people in the automotive industry and people like yourself that still driving to work and still driving on your day when you're supposed to go on the road, you still need car brakes. You still want your car in good working condition. People still getting a fender bender. So you need to consider we too.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And I agree with you totally.
And I'm making a call. To desire, I'm making a call to the acting prime minister and whoever is in charge to at least consider we and a lot of our self-employed people, a lot of bodymen and mechanics, right, work alone, right. Mm-hmm. So we're endangering the body. We isolated. Mm-hmm. All right. So I want to make that call out there.
All right, my friend, and thank you very much for making the call, because I do feel that. Self-employed people in particular, being one myself, we're really being negatively impacted here by COVID, because even if you're paying national insurance, of course you have the security of a contributory pension, but there's only sickness benefits and injury benefits. There's no unemployment benefits. You have to work to survive. And therefore, with this curfew, a lot of self-employed people are hurting because they have to rely just on their savings. We move to the next call. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. You're on the air. We got another one. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sanka. How are you?
Hello. I'm fine. Long time no hear.
Of course you are. You heard from Winnie, you heard from Mrs. Undecided, and now you're hearing from Miss P.
My three girls.
Oh, we miss you at night, Sanka. We miss you on Tuesday nights, but that's another story. You know, your voice is very soothing in these times. Trying times. This is what we want to hear. We don't want to hear no dictatorship voices or the brawling, you know. We're human beings. We're not dumb children.
Yes,
we know we need to wear a mask if we go out. We know.
We do? The amount of people I see on the street without masks.
Those are the people who really don't like themselves. It's not about us. It's about them. These are people that have been brainwashed, indoctrinated, not to like themselves. These are what I call the foolish risk takers. Mm-hmm. Because I really do not want to go out of my house unless it's going to buy something or walk up a block where I know everybody and they're all on their verandas or the kids run out to the fence, but they don't come out to hug me and greet me like they usually do because they understand. Their parents have told them. They've listened to it on the media. They know what the situation is. 99% of the people know what's going on here. Sanka, that's not what I called for. I want to know what this Barbados Water Company, right? Mm-hmm. I want them to add up all the money that we give to sewage waste and tell us how much money they've collected so far. That's number one. We have a right to know how much money they've turned over to the government, or for the government to tell us how much money has a water company turned over to them. We need to know that. Where's our Auditor General's report? Isn't it due?
I'm not sure. I think you would normally get one because it's the end of the financial year, so you would normally get one
by May, June.
May, usually June. Yes. So yeah. one should be in the offing shortly, because they're very reliable.
Who's very reliable?
The Auditor General's office is very reliable.
Yeah, they
turn out their reports as they should.
Okay, I'm just curious to know if the Auditor General's recommendations are being followed by this new government. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, this alphabetical surname system is not working in this Barbados. I was at the supermarket 3 hours in the heat. By the time I got home, I slept for 3 hours. All I put in the fridge was my little bit of chicken that I bought, because I'm not really a meat eater, and I bought a yogurt. That all went into the fridge, and I got down on my bed, and when I looked up, it was almost 6-7 at night because I was so exhausted. I'm a senior citizen, and I think it is terrible what they're doing to us. I am more afraid of dying from heat exhaustion than I am of COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
We were social distancing, I'm telling you that. That I did see. Not so much at the one down in Spooner's Hill, but up in the boutique up at Macy's, yeah, we were social distancing and everybody had on a mask. And I noticed most people going out do have a mask on. Even in their cars, when they're driving by my house, I see everybody in that car has on their mask and they're doing what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
But the alphabetical stuff, it doesn't make sense in this Barbados, a place where Bajans like to eat more than anything else. We love to dress and we like to eat.
But you would appreciate that the whole idea of the alphabetical being able to come only on the day of your letter of your name is that particular day. The whole idea behind that is to ensure that you do not have a lot of traffic on the roads. So it's really a matter of controlling the amount of congestion you also have on the streets. If you were just to open it up, you would get everyone from A to Z could come out, and then you have the same problem that you're trying to avoid of getting so many, this crush of people on the streets at the same time. And so it is a mechanism to restrict movement. That's what it really essentially is. But I do take your point in terms of the sun. I was in a line for too long. And it zaps you of your energy. But that morning, the rain also fell. And I had no umbrella. And you can't really run out of the line, you know. So you had a little rain, a little sprinkling of rain. You had the sun. And by the time you got to the door, you're totally exhausted to just going to pick up a few items. What I found is that that was the first week of the alphabet, this alphabetical system. The second week, which was just last week, I found that there was hardly a wait, less than 5 minutes at both stores I went to in Warren's. There was less than 5 minutes wait in both of them. So it was a great improvement, I can tell you, because I remember my wife was in the line at Massey supermarket for that first week. And she got there for 20 minutes to 8 while I went to Price Mart. And she never got into Massey until just after 11. I got into Price Mart a little before, but, you know, so I was a little bit more fortunate than her. But she was the one who had the umbrella, so she could take the rain. But, I mean, it really zaps you of your energy. So as a senior citizen, I could appreciate how the impact it is having on people. But as I said, I've been through it as well. So I know it's not easy. But it is, as I said, it is a way of restricting the amount of vehicles on the streets.